Yes, it's Lavi. I'd like to wish everyone a beautiful Shabbos, a beautiful week, and a beautiful Shabbos. If you can continue down for Yehuda ben Shifa, Rabbi Kelma, Yehuda Vashtaiman, and Rebbetzin Weiss. Rebbetzin Weiss, Vashtaiman, Rabbi Kelma, and Yehuda ben Shifa. The Divrei Torah should be Zechus Neshama of Moshe Shapiro, or Mordechai Freelander, and Weiss Stavetsky from Englewood, and Rebbetzin Schoenfeld. Anyway, so this week's parsha is parsha of Vayechi, and this is one of my favorite Divrei Torahs. I think it's a beautiful one. But Moshe Feinstein's outside. So why say Vayechi Yaakov? We know Yaakov's alive. Why is the Torah telling me Yaakov's alive? We know he's alive. Well, Moshe Feinstein outside said, since Yaakov met Yosef, he's happy. Now that he's happy, he's full of life. And I thought that's a great Muslim message, because when you're happy, you really are full of life. The Tzor Marwah says, "Ve'ikuv yemei Yaakov lamus." The days of Yaakov were coming to, you know, it was being nifta. The Tzor Marwah said, "Why is it ve'ikuv Yaakov lamus? He was coming to die. Why have to say yemei?" Tzor Marwah said, "Because when someone's about to die, the days of their whole life look like a couple of days. When they're about to leave this world, this olam hazeh, the whole days look like nothing." Well, Moshe Shor from Lakewood said in this week's parsha, Yaakov knew when Mashiach's coming, hopefully he should come b'kavod, and Yaakov was going to tell his children when Mashiach's going to come. And I think maybe Rashi or the Chumash, but it said Yaakov, you know, forgot the date of Mashiach. He forgot. So Moshe Shor from Lakewood said, why did Yaakov forget? Because Yaakov had to go through all of history of the Jewish people. He had to think about the whole Jewish people until he got to Mashiach, until he got to that date. And being Yaakov was going through the whole history, seeing the pogroms, the crusades, the Inquisition, the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, the Holocaust, and terrorist attacks, and etc. Unfortunately, all the tzoros, Yaakov got depressed. And you can't, when you're depressed, you can't get nevuah. So being that he can't get nevuah because he's depressed, that's why Yaakov even forgot the date of Mashiach, that moment in time. Yisod Emuna, Yisod Emuna, another sefer said, Yaakov said, Hishavali. He was telling Yosef, please swear to me that you're going to bury me in Eretz Yisrael. So Yisod Emuna said, why say Hishavali? I say, Hishavah, swear to me. Of course, you know, when I'm talking to someone else, I'm asking you to swear. Of course you're swearing to me. You're not swearing to anybody else. There's no one around. So Yisod Emuna said, why Yaakov said, Lee? Because Yosef might have been scared. Yosef might have been, there might have been a havamin that Yosef might have been scared. That why do they have to swear to Yaakov, Tati? And people are going to find out that I had to swear to my own father. I had to swear to my own father that I'm going to keep my promise to him. You know, which father or mother is going to make the child swear? Of course, the child's going to do it. So Yaakov said, "Hishavali, just swear to me. It won't. No one else will know about the shvuah. Just hishavali. It'll be only between you and I, Yosef. Please, or just make me, you know, simcha." Sha'ab bas Rabim, he says, Yaakov told Yosef, I'm going to draw with my father, Shachafti Mavosai. And then Yaakov said, swear to me that you're going to bury me in Eretz Yisrael. So Sha'ab bas Rabim said, what does it mean Yaakov said, I'm going to lie with my fathers? What Yaakov was telling Yosef, I'm going to get to Maras Machpela. I'm going to be buried near Avram and Yitzchak, Sarah, Rachel, Rivka, and Leah. I guess they were all nifta by then. you know, Rivka, I'm talking about Leah. I'm going to be lying with them. That Hashem promised me. But Yaakov's telling Yosef, it's up to you, can decide if you want to do it or not. If you don't do it, Hashem's going to give me a different way. But I'm shachtav in Avosai, I'm definitely going to be buried in Maras Machpelah. Because if you notice, Yaakov said this first, and then he told Yosef, if you want it, you can swear to me. The stipler had another question. You know, when Yosef, you know, swore to Yaakov that he's going to bury him in Eretz Yisrael, Yosef told Paro that if you won't let me keep my shvuah, I might not keep the oath to you that you don't know Lashon HaKodesh. It said Paro did not know Hebrew, did not know Lashon HaKodesh. So Yosef told Paro, if you don't let me keep my oath to bury Yaakov in Maras Machpelah in Eretz Yisrael, then maybe I can't, may Yosef was telling Paro, maybe I can't keep the oath to you that you don't know Hebrew. So the stipler asked a question, you know, we don't tell somebody, because if you mechal Shabbos, I'm going to mechal Shabbos. If you turn the light on, then I'm going to turn the light on. You know, we don't matter, you know, just because one person, you know. So Stipler said, and it's a famous thing, when you do one aveira, you end up doing 2, 3. That's what Yosef was telling Paro. If you don't let me keep my oath, my shvuah to Yosef, to Yaakov, then to me, an oath is going to be meaningless. and therefore the oath I made to you, Paul, about that no one knows that you don't know Hebrew, that oath is going to become meaningless also, and I might tell people. That's what Yosef was telling Paul. If you make my oath meaningless, where I can't keep my shvuah, I can't keep my oath, then all shvuahs, all oaths might become meaningless, and then I might reveal to people about Paul, you Paul, you don't know Hebrew either. The Ralag said another word. He said, "Why? You know, if you look carefully, Yaakov put the Bechor, Manasseh. He put, I think, Manasseh on the right side and Ephraim on his left side, but he switched his hands. And so someone asked the question, Kedusha Salevi just asked the question, why did he move him to move around? You know, move Manasseh to the right and Ephraim to the left. Because Kedusha Salevi said, because Yaakov was saying he's a Bechor. So the Ralag saying on this, what Yaakov is teaching us, that we're in Gullus right now, we're in exile, we're in America, Australia, Canada, France, wherever we are, we're still in Gullus. We don't have the base of Migdash. What Yaakov is teaching us, one of the ways to take us out of Gullus is to look for good in every Jew has a good in them. Every Jew in the world is good in them. Yaakov put Ephraim on his right side because he was Bechor, Manasseh on his right side. And he put Ephraim on the other side, but he put his right hand on he put Yosef's son, who was a Bechor, on his right side. The other son, he put his right hand over him. Because he was teaching us, every Jew, there's something good in them. And you have to show that there's good. You can show Reuven, Shimon, Yehuda, Yaakov, all Polonies, of course. Any good Jew that comes in front of you, there's good in each one of them. And you have to focus on that good in them. You have to focus the good meat or the good trait, whatever. There's good in every person, in every Jew. And that's why Yaakov put the Bechor on the right side and his right hand on the other side. To say, to me, there's good in each one of them. And also showing, I love every Jew no matter what. Then the Ralag said, no, but if you notice, he crisscrossed his hands. Yaakov did not tell him to switch Ephraim and Manasseh, but he crisscrossed his hands on Ephraim and Manasseh. Why did he do that? The Ralag said, what Yaakov's teaching the Jewish people, Bnei Yisrael, no matter how far to the right or how far to the left, no matter how conservative thinking or liberal thinking you are, remember, you're always connected. You're one people. You're Bnei Yisrael. You're the Jewish people. And that's why he crisscrossed his hands to teach him, you're always connected. You're always brothers and sisters. Don't forget that. And that's why he crisscrossed his hands and put them both brothers. The Ralag said the word. Right? Boach Newman, he's a rabbi young as Spring Valley, said, why did Yaakov say, Amalech HaGol, Osim Mikolai, Vikarem Shemi, Vishem Avosai, Avam Yitzchak, Kudugul Orol, Vikav Aretz? Again, I might be changing this word around, but what Baruch Newman's saying is, please make sure you have my name and the Avos name on you. Remember, please walk in the pathways of the Torah mitzvahs. Please always work serving Hashem. Yikravim Shemi V'Shem Osai. If you want these brachas to Mikayim, if you want the protection of Hashem, and you want the brach Mikayim, then you have to walk in the pathways of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's what Yikravim Shemi V'Shem Osai means. Okay, I'm going to tell you one quick halach again. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi, you know, discuss at the Shabbos table. So, well, he'd been a Vicky for months. He said, you can scoop out liver, tuna, whatever, you know, you want, or egg salad. You can scoop that out and put that on the plate. But Yakuza Smith, basing on the Ramah, but you should not shape it to make it beautiful. On Shabbos, you should not shape it to make it beautiful. You can scoop it out and put it on the plate. That you can do on Shabbos Kodesh. But you should not, you know, shape it out. You should not, you know, move it a little bit to, you know, you should not flatten it out to make it really look beautiful. The Ramah writes that you should be machmeh and not do that. And I'll tell you a story I heard. I thought it's an incredible story. Where official shachtu, who's connected to Yeshiva Tova Das in Brooklyn. All I know is, let's call them Rachel Leah. I don't know who the two women are. Rachel boards the, let's say she's on the plane. I think it was a bus. Whatever, she boards the bus or the plane. And she has a bag of cookies. And Leia sits next to her. And these are two, you know, two from Yidden. And Leia starts taking from Rachel's cookies. And they're eating each other. One from one bag, they're eating the cookies. And Leia gets up and Rachel thinks, what a chutzpah. She's taking from my own bag of cookies. You know, she doesn't even ask me. Yes, of course, Rachel would have given her, but at least, you know. Leia gets up and gets off, I guess, on the next stop on the bus. Rachel gets off like three stops later. As she gets up, I might be changing this fact along, but you'll see what I'm saying. As Rachel lifts up her purse, whatever it is, and Rachel finds her own bag of cookies. Rachel finds her own bag of cookies. Rachel realizes that she was eating from Leah's cookies. She was eating from Leia's cookies, and Leia did not say anything. And it teaches you how you should give everyone the benefit of the doubt. You should not be choshish anybody. You should give everyone the benefit of the doubt, because you might be eating from the other person's cookies, and she's not eating from yours. I'd like to wish everyone a gewaldig, gewaldig Shabbos. Hope everything's going well.